We're here today in New Orleans, joined by Scott Hampton of Hamtone, who manufactures preamps and other studio gear, and just wanted to talk to him a little bit about his projects that he's got going on, and specifically about a kit project that he's got for building a tube or a JFET preamp that is available directly by mail from him. We talked about a year ago, and you said, I'm building these kits, but I'm tired of building these kits, and I'm not going to build any more of these kits. Did they just go over too well for you to stop building them? Or?
A lot of it was that. Initially, the first article that I wrote in Tape Out Magazine was a very simple tube design. And as a complete afterthought, Larry Crane said, you know, why don't you offer a kit? You know, then maybe some people could actually build it. So we kind of threw this little thing together, and just the hard-to-find parts and things like that. And people kind of had to buy their own box and buy certain parts and still had to accumulate some things. It was really popular to the extent that I really hadn't planned on it being that popular, so I actually had to stop it.
Just ran out of parts?
Well, there were too many tech questions, and there wasn't really, I just hadn't thought it really through. And the biggest problem was the enclosure, because for proper shielding, you really need to use steel.
Okay.
And for most people, to be able to drill and to make the box,
come up with a steel box,
was a problem. And so people would be, you know, have most of the tech questions were all related to how do I put this thing in a box, how do I properly shield it, and really make it work, because the mechanical package, in the end, anybody will tell you, is the hardest part often. The electrical design, I mean, you can sit down and come up with, you know, a variety of different things and listen to them and play with them, and that's the fun part. It's the, you know, but really designing the chassis so it properly shields, that's, you know, the tough part. So that was the big gripe with it the first time, was that people were like, well, this is great, but, you know, I'm just like, I burned out 5 bits trying to make this thing. And, you know, people are trying to be machinists, and they're trying to, you know, wear all these hats. So my thought was, I'm going to step back from this before I put too many of these things out there, and I want to kind of rework it. Actually, when the Micro kits came out, the ones we do now are totally complete. They come with everything. The box is all pre-drilled and all that. But I made a special version of it, what we called the Legacy Edition of it, that was for the very first people that bought it, so they could put it in the same box. And I made backward compatible with a separate front panel. It was definitely at my expense to do that, but I mostly didn't want all those people who were brave enough to take a chance on and me and what I was doing to feel slighted when they saw
the new one come out,
it's this big cool 16-gauge steel box, and it's all powder coated and screen printed.
How come I didn't get one of those?
Yeah, and so I did that, and I custom designed a turtle transformer for the power, and that definitely reduced internal noise when you start to jam the thing, and you need it with the original one. I basically gave them layout requirements of how far to space things apart to keep the noise down. But this box being smaller, it really required the toroid, so I included that as part of the box, and I think it was like, you know, $100 for the box. And
wow. And
it was just kind of a break-even deal. And there was about 30 or 40 people that bought the original one that decided they wanted to go for the box. So
that's great.
Yeah.
What were the inspirations for your designs? I mean, what did you have an electrical background, or did you just look at circuits and copy them? Or?
Well, my background's in electrical engineering,
okay.
And I worked for about 6 years as a RF engineer.
Okay.
I did design of anechoic chambers for radar and antenna test and design test equipment, wrote software, just did a variety of different things, primarily R&D stuff, microstrip MIMIC, they call it, monolithic microwave integrated circuits. God, it's been so long since I said that.
So you were also a musician.
Yeah, I'd always been involved in music, and eventually the music was kind of taking off. My job was inundating me with work, and I was up to, you know, 60, 70 hours consistently a week, and was pretty miserable, to be completely honest, and got offered to play this guitar gig in Europe with, there was a band called Sisters of Mercy, and a couple of the guys that were the front writers for that band kind of offshooted, and I ended up playing guitar with the one guy in Europe for about 3 or 4 months. After that, just decided when I came back home that there was another tour possible, but I admittedly wasn't that stoked on the music, so, and the guy was kind of hard to work with, but it was cool. I, you know, really threw me into a different situation than I'd ever been in, and it was definitely a learning thing. But I really wanted to pursue my own music, and got that to a level where I think I would have crossed a certain threshold into a more serious music sphere with a major label, and had gotten old enough, I think, to the point where I decided that wasn't really the path that I wanted to go.
Okay.
And chose instead to, I had always been sort of building gear on the side for my own studios and recording my own music. Just instead did it more indie, just booked our own tours, we put out our own records, a lot of it I just put out under my own name.
Mm-hmm.
In the Midwest, we were in Minneapolis, just, you know, Midwest tours, we'd, you know, on a small scale, but that's what I really enjoyed. I could do the music the way that I wanted to, and the little business was kind of growing, and I could count on that for my money and play music the way that I wanted to and not be told what I had to do with it.
Well, so when did you actually start? I mean, did you just make boxes and loan them to friends and they wanted them? Is that how it started?
Yeah.
Did you, like, start hitting the streets trying to peddle gear? Or?
No, it actually was just completely by accident. It wasn't. I always thought that at some point I would just, you know, be flat broke and I'd have to go back and get an engineering job. And as it turned out, some of the gear that I built for myself, the original silver box, was a big, large, square silver box that I got from a surplus store, and I built a first prototype mic pre in that, and people were just kind of curious, other studio engineer, you know, or owner friends of mine, and so people borrowed it, and I loaned it here, and next thing I know, a couple of people are asking me, you know, could you build one of those for me, and started dabbling some Eastern European microphones. There was a studio friend of mine who had another friend in Europe, and we kind of met, and so started going over there, and actually when it was after the wall went down a few years after that, and there was a lot of like the CMV563s and M582s and a lot of Eastern European stuff that was kind of cool stuff. And there was, you could get capsules that were screw-on stuff, a mm-hmm. large diaphragm. And
sure.
So I started building some microphones based around those, you know, kind of self-contained capsules. Started selling some of those. And it was kind of hand-to-mouth a little bit for, you know, for a number of years. And buddy of mine that's a fantastic Hammond organ player. He has a business called BB Organ. He was primarily a tech guy. His dad was a piano tuner, and he was playing accordion in his dad's polka band when he was like four. So he's just this brilliant musician. I mean, he'll sit there at the B3 and he's playing a bass line with his feet. He plays rhythm with one hand, and he'll be soloing and then carrying on a complete fluid conversation with you. And I'm like, dude, you're just way too good. Just stop that, you know. But he had all these ideas of Hammond organ-related things, just a variety of different things. We made a preamp pedal for a while that, you know, if you're plugging in a B3 into an organ.
Mm-hmm.
Solid-state relays to get rid of the mechanical ones inside of Leslie's so that you don't get the big clicking noise.
Right.
Recording a motor speed unit that turns a single-speed Leslie, which there were more of, into a double-speed using the single-speed motors. Oh. That was kind of our most successful thing. We've done quite a number of those little boxes where a couple people are actually jumped into the game, and a couple people have kind of reverse engineered our thing, and so we may see the end of that that cash cow may have gotten, you know, too old.
Put
and
out
fat.
The pasture.
Yeah, exactly. So it's been kind of a spread. I built 2 mic power supplies. Got just a diverse enough that if one thing's not doing all that great that month, Bill will order some Hammond-related stuff, and he buys it in rather, you know, in quantity, so then he distributes and takes care of that. So it's just a little balance here and there. And
so what other preamp boxes do you have right now in your line?
There's 2 of them, and I call it like the HVTP2 and the HJFP2, and they're both 2-channel mic pre-kits.
Oh, so now, are you just making the kits?
We're only making the kits right now.
Really?
Yeah. And we're seriously considering actually offering them assembled. It's just that the popularity of the kits has been such that it almost seems there's no point in even pursuing that. There's so many good preamps on the market that are pre-assembled that people have the option.
Right.
And really, the market that to go back to your question of, like, you know, you originally asked me, like, I started doing that and then kind of got out of it, but there's such an enthusiastic group of people that want to take something like this on. And even if they're novices and don't know anything and ask tons of questions, it's still, I just got the mindset that, you know, every time we ship 25 of these things out, that, you know, that's like a little class that's out there. And those are
right.
Those are my kids, you know, and they're going to be building this and asking a bunch of questions. And
it's got to be very satisfying.
It is. It's probably one of the most satisfying things that I've done as an adult. It's, you know, we're trying to offer them at a really affordable price. So I priced it at the point where if someone goes and buys these things in small quantity to build one, it's actually just a little more expensive than just buying the kit.
Wow.
And the theory is that people will see that and they'll, you know, people will sit down and go like, wow, if I go buy 4 good transformers and I go buy a box, I'm almost to the cost of the kit, you
exactly.
know?
And that's all the legwork and all the time and finding the parts. And
yeah, there's like 265 individual parts in the thing that you have to track wow. down and order. And just to order the parts takes me a good couple weeks to do that, you know, but I'm doing 100 maybe at a time.
Right.
So, and by buying transformers, now, you know, each kit has 4 audio transformers and 1 custom toroid. for the power that all come from the same manufacturer, that, you know, the pricing that they're able to give me is, you know, less than a half of what the average person would
pay
for this stuff. So I'm trying not to rake people. I'm trying to, like, go, here's a good deal. We're trying to make a really marginal profit on it. And theory being that I think people will really realize that. And once they build it, I think they're both really good sounding units. And mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time playing music through them. And it seems the online forums and stuff that people have created over these things, and there's a lot of stuff on the tape out message board, and people seem very, very pleased with what it is as a preamp once they're done, aside from the personal pride that they get in actually assembling it.
So. Well, and you said a bunch of people that buy one end up buying the other as well.
A little over half people that buy the first one end up going back and getting the other one.
That's
interesting. Yeah, and I really, you know, I get a lot of email. Some days I've had as many as close to 400 in one day with interest in it, and said, "Well, tape up, you know, there's 50,000 copies of that thing goes out."
Right.
So, you know, even just a fraction of a percent of people that might see interest, you know, might go like, "Hey, what's up?" And, you know, realize it's, you know, me and a couple techs and my huskies, you know, like run the place. But I really think it's important that I answer everyone's email. And I answer every tech question that I get, and I think if it's a good one, I usually post it on my website. And I think that's really important. It's just sincere, old-fashioned kind of business. Nowadays, especially with computer things, where things just become so outdated so fast, and a lot of support companies come and go, and things disappear, and, oh, we don't support that product anymore. And I think people have grown used to that. And to be able to email and actually get the guy that designed the box, who will answer all your questions and like how to solder and, you know, I think people really appreciate that. And I spend probably 2 hours a day just corresponding. And Mondays are usually worse because I even put on my website, like, don't email over the weekend. Just like, because it'll, you know, I go for 2 or 3 days and I come back and there's hundreds of them. And I just stand there and go, holy shit.
I think it's fascinating because, you know, our industry started, you know, even 40, 50 years ago with none of this gear around.
Mm-hmm.
And people, if you wanted something, you had to go out and build it. If you wanted an equalizer, you had to get all the parts together and build it. And then we've gotten to the point now where anything you want, you can buy. And not only can you buy it, you can actually, you know, buy it for $50.
Yeah, and you have so many choices, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
I mean, back then, engineers were engineers. They were guys that, you know, they built their consoles. They, you know, they fixed everything. They knew how everything worked. And I think a lot of people realize that, you know, the way things have gotten, that we've really gotten so far from that, that people who want to gain a better understanding of what it is that they're using, they want to know what's in there. They want to know how it works. They want to understand why one piece of gear is, why one is so expensive versus another one. And, you know, what's the difference with transformers or not transformers? And I think the kind of people that I end up getting with this are pretty, you know, strictly those kind of people, the people that really want to explore and understand and learn. And a lot of people, you know, they say, well, I was thinking about going into engineering, but I'm not that good with math, but I understand it intuitively and things like that. And, you know, so maybe they're not an electrical engineer, but they want to understand more. And they want to know how their gear works, and they don't want to be afraid of getting in there and building stuff and soldering boards. And so the response has been, I've yet to see a negative comment or somebody disgruntled or felt that they were unsatisfied with what they got in the end. And
that's great.
And so it's been a tough thing. It's just keep pouring everything we make back into it. It's been about a year, it's going to probably take another year or so before it actually generates any cash flow for me as a business. But I think it's a good thing, and it seems to be really notching up. We're having trouble kind of keeping this stuff in stock. And I think that's largely because I'm not trying to make a lot of money off it, and I'm direct selling, so there's no...
Well, and it seems to be an enormous value when you look around. And, I mean, the build quality is first rate. I mean, well, I'll pull it up here. So this is the front panel. Plus minus 48, pad, phase invert, carbon pots.
Yep, and the
nice resistance.
Yeah, we're actually, one of the things that's going to be an option is I designed it to accommodate, it's a 23-position military sealed rotary switch. And as sort of a optional little package that you'll be able to buy, it's a step attenuator kit, so you'll get rid of the pots.
Got it.
The thing is just the switches alone are almost $40, so... In the initial thing, it's not going to make such an enormous difference that somebody is going to go, oh, this sounds terrible with the pots. And so that's something I initially designed into it so it could accommodate these much larger switches.
Yeah.
And that'll be offered as an option. It, as it turns out, the switches, they're back order right now, so I've got a bunch of them on order. And
so is this, it's 2U, is it a half rack space?
It's 2U. If you take the handle off, it's 2U. If you leave the handle on, it's 3U. Half rack space, two will fit side by side in a rack shelf. Yeah. It's 16-gauge steel.
It's very, very heavy.
And the front panel is really the only part unique to the box. The JFET and tube share the same box. I've got some LC EQs and some optocompressor designs I'm playing with that I'll probably offer in the same box.
Oh, okay. So, and it's transformer in, transformer out.
Yep. Polypropylene caps, low ESR, electrolytics, metal film 1% resistors, silver connectors. I didn't really try to cut any corners with the electrical components. I used the same grade of stuff for the most part that I used in the mic pre's that I was selling for around $1,000 a channel. It put some optional rear panel jacks, and there's extra places on the board. You can, if somebody wanted to wire rear panel jacks, they have to be TRS. There's just, because of physical limitations.
Yeah.
When you get into the tube kit, the power transformer is quite a bit larger, and the power supply board is quite a bit larger. So my fear of if I start getting a bunch of extra XLRs back here that I might get into noise problems. To my knowledge, nobody's used those back connectors yet. So, and the idea of the front panel, although in my mind that's not necessarily completely ideal, it makes for assembly, minimizes the point-to-point is where everybody's going to probably have their problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea was with putting them up on the front, it also eliminates the shielding problem because you keep all the connectors as close to the electronics. It doesn't have to pass near a power supply. So from that perspective, it's actually a little more ideal. But I definitely, in the design of this is somewhat dictated by, I know people are going to be assembling this in kit form,
sure.
And I want to make it as easy as possible. And the more coax and point-to-point and stuff that you have to do, the more room there's going to be for somebody to have problems.
So what... of what we see here, what does not come with the kit?
Everything.
Everything. So
complete.
Down
wires, screws.
So it's like bring your own soldering iron and solder and
a couple hand tools, and that's it.
You're good to go. That's amazing.
Everything. Yeah.
It's a very, very neat idea. It's an idea I think, probably went away in the 60s or 70s.
Yeah, Heathkit
and Dynaco, and all those guys.
Yeah.
And I think the time is right. I think there are enough people that are interested enough. You're right. It takes somebody more than just somebody who wants to make a record. It's somebody that wants to build a kit car. It's somebody that wants to get in there and mm-hmm. wants to do it and wants to learn.
Yeah.
And, wants the experience as opposed to just buying a box that shows up and you plug in.
Yeah.
So I have to admit that I've tried my hand at some design and some building, and I'm miserable at it. But, seeing this and looking at it, it's like, yeah, it looks like something even I could do.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is that a lot of the people that initially took it on were beginners. And I even, when I put the first ad in Tape-Op that, mentioned that we had this, I even kind of put in there, for advanced DIYers, because I sort of trying to discourage the beginner-level people from taking it on, even though...
Because it would take more of your time?
Well, and a lot of it is tech support, because, out of the first batch of people, I had questions like, what keeps the parts in the board?
real advanced questions. Like
yeah, and I would, I even offered one guy, if you feel like you got into this over your head, you can send it back. And even though he actually, opened up some of the bags and even started to put some stuff on the boards. But I helped him through it, and about 30 emails later, he got it done, and it's working, and he is really proud of himself for doing it.
I bet.
So I think that's what I get the most satisfaction out of. When I worked a day engineering job, it was like I made a good salary and was comfortable, but I was miserable. And I'm not very money motivated. I just believe there's like bigger forces, as spiritual as that kind of sounds. It's like I just think there's more important things than I'm fed, I have food, I have a roof over my head. And beyond that, it's like I don't need to pile up piles of money. I'd rather just spend my life doing what I really, really enjoy and what I feel is, worthy of my time here. If I can make some tiny little contribution in some way that somebody else hasn't or isn't doing, that this just seems like a little niche that I definitely kind of got into by accident via Tape-Op and offering up some schematics and some, simple designs. And now I'm making mic pre-kits and actually selling more of these in the last few months than everything I sold in our business in the first, So maybe by accident I'll actually be successful.
That's great. That's great. Well, thanks for taking the time to
show
it to us.
Thank you very much.
And maybe I'll get a chance to try it out.
Yeah.
So maybe if I'm feeling real adventuresome, I'll maybe even try to build one.
Yeah. Well, I'd love you to, anytime you want to demo one, I'll.
Okay. That'd be great.
Off to you. Yeah. I'll have you check out the tube one. I think that's the.
Oh, I'd love
the two. Tube one's a little more expensive, but it's. I mean, that I think rivals any of the stuff that I've ever built, which people have put those up against everything. And I honestly, my design approach is different than other people's, and I have a certain philosophy, and at least that I've done in these things. And you can modify the design. There's place in there that you can even make your own gain stages. And if you so desire and you want to just use the box and the input connectors and all the transformers, and a lot of that stuff is very common from one design to another anyway. And it boils down to two relatively simple gain stages per channel. And, you know, there's enough room and a little proto section of the board. People can design their own thing and just use this as a bed to do that.
A starting point, yeah.
And I encourage that. It's, you know, there's a lot of different ways of amplifying and doing things, and this is one approach, and it's a definitely different animal than a lot of other things out there. But the consensus of the people that have built it and used it and compared it against things is that they really like the way it sounds. And
well, it looks like looks like a really quality piece. So.
Well, thank you.
Well, thanks, and I think we're done.
Cool. Thanks to you.
Sure.